Welcome back to Brandon House live here on Lindell TV and frankspeech.com. JD Rucker just joined us. Now David Baris joins us. Then after that, Annie Cyrus with an update. Remember, she was born in Iran, raised in Iran, sold as a child bride. That's called sex trafficking at the age of 13. Thrown into Sharia jail, beaten. Why? Because she acted like a normal teenager, dancing, singing on the street, letting her hair come out from underneath her hijab. Oh, yeah, and then she got caught by the Sharia police and a cab with a male cab driver. This will get you thrown into Sharia jail and beaten. Of course, sold by her father at age 13 as a child bride, beaten by her, quote, husband, end quote, before she finally escaped and came to America, learned English, worked at a fast food restaurant, and today runs an organization warning America about the Islamic invasion into our nation. Then we'll be joined by Patrick Wood with an update on technocracy, COVID passports, and controlling every aspect of our lives through manufactured crises. Then we'll hear from Laura Loomer. She's announced she's running for the U.S. Congress, but she's also warning America is headed for another 9/11. Interesting. David Gobitz warned of the same thing last hour. Joining me now is David Baris, a former sheriff, as well as military officer. David, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Brandon, and good evening to all your viewers and audience.
Give us a quick bio for you, other than you are a sheriff and also in the military, correct?
That's right. I retired from the military as a commissioned officer in 1991 after 23 years. And then went into law enforcement in Georgia, serving with a local sheriff's office for 16, and following 3 years as the chief of police of a suburban jurisdiction of Atlanta.
So you're chief of police, a sheriff department, and then military. And then you started warning, and you've been in our studio and recorded several programs warning about Islam coming into America, warning that these mosques are not what you think they are. With all that being said, give us an update on where you think America is tonight since the last time we talked, which has been several months, because I read a story the other day, barely made a blip, Texas woman, a Lyft driver, murdered by her customer who apparently has Islamic ties. Did you see that?
Well, it's been going on for years, and it won't stop. It's going to get worse because the border's wide open, and there was another recent article that talked about how terrorists now are at the highest level coming across the border, that the former head of the Border Patrol told his employees that he's ever seen. So now you've got all of the refugees that were funneling into this country from Afghanistan. Most have not been vetted properly yet, regardless of what the current administration claims. And so you know that terrorists are going to be a part of this mix. They have been for years, and they will continue to be in the near future.
So let's talk about Afghanistan, whether people believe we should be there or should have gotten out. They all agree we got out the wrong way. Do you believe we should have at least left some level of American forces over there indefinitely in order to stop what we're seeing from happening, and particularly the Taliban moving into Pakistan, which is a nuclear state, and even gaining more ground?
Yes, I do. I'm probably a minority voice because I do believe that we need to have a presence on the ground in that part of the world. If you look at the map, you'll see that Afghanistan is bordered by Pakistan, Russia, China, and Iran is not too far away. And we need to have a presence there because these are our biggest enemies in that area of the world. Now, stop and think about it. For the last 1 to 2 or 3 years, the Afghan army has been doing all of the fighting to keep the Taliban in check. All they asked in return was that we would continue to repair their equipment with contractors and provide intelligence support and air support, which we did. When we pulled that out, they didn't have any other choice but to drop their weapons and run. That's the way they were raised, to depend upon the U.S. military, its contractors, its air power, and its contractors. So when we let them down, they had no choice. Now, what many of your viewers and listeners may not be aware of is that the NATO allies had agreed to continue to furnish over 8,000 troops and wanted to do so for the simple reason that we, like Europe, have not been attacked by any international terrorists out of Afghanistan since 2021. They realized that their security depended upon maintaining Afghanistan under our control. And that's why they're so upset with Biden and his precipitous withdrawal at this point in time. When you think that 2,400 U.S. troops could have avoided all of this by maintaining a presence in Afghanistan and still maintain the security of our country and headed off all of these terrorists that are coming into our country right now because of the airlift that we just got through participating in, that it's a small price to pay. People say that we should give, it was an endless war. Well, I'm here to tell you we're going to be in for an endless war. It's going to be a far worse than we can possibly imagine that's going to hit us in the near future.
Tell me what that looks like. Tell me what you mean by that. What are we talking about, David?
Well, because the Taliban is ruled by Sharia. So off the top, they're going to be controlling women according to Sharia law, which means that women fulfill a subservient role and that men dominate them, have control over them, and they have no rights under Sharia. None at all. As far as the Americans that are still there, I fear for their safety. They're going to be used as hostages, as pawns. Many of them will probably be severely beaten, if not killed. So yes, I have major concerns for the safety of the Americans, for the Afghans that did help us, who are still there, and the Taliban is relentless in trying to track them down.
Tell me what you think is going to happen to the Americans that have been left behind. I think we're even hearing about young students that have been left behind. Americans.
Well, they're going to be used as a pawn. You remember what happened in Tehran with President Carter?
Yes.
How long was that? Well over 100 days, if my memory serves me correct.
444 days. 444 days.
They were maintained as hostages. And that's exactly what the Taliban is going to do with these. Don't forget, we have a lot of their money that we have sequestered. And so they're going to use that to try to get release of the money that we have. So it is just a terrible situation that they're going to be used, as I said a few minutes ago, as pawns to try to get leverage. She uses leverage against Biden. And Biden is going to bow to them. He's already talking about entering into some sort of a partnership with the Taliban. A diplomatic partnership, and that's outrageous. They're our enemy. They're the ones that helps facilitate the attack on 9/11. And now we're going to be politically wired to these folks?
Do you see another 9/11 occurring, David, in America?
I don't see one of that magnitude. What I do see is that now that the Taliban has been empowered, it's going to attract followers, and we are going to see a revival of the types of lone wolf, if you will, lone independent jihadist attacks that we've seen throughout Europe and the United States several years ago. Don't forget, it was just very recently that we had the Pensacola attack. And that was just one Saudi Arabian student. So we're going to see more of that, much more of that. And because this is the 20th anniversary, do not lose sight of the fact that these Islamists love to play up dates that have significance. They're going to celebrate this 20th anniversary in a way that I just fear is going to be full of violence.
Tell our audience about the mosque in America. I had on David Gobbets in the last hour during the Lindell Report to talk about the mosques. Tell us about the mosque from your research, David.
Well, it's the axis of the movement of the Muslim Brotherhood. That's according to their document. Their own document, the explanatory memorandum, lays out the importance of the mosque because the mosques are going to be serve as a seed to bring sweet honey to their cause. Now, what I'm talking about is the mosque is not a place of worship. It is a place for mobilization. It's a place for radicalization. It's a place for incitement by these mosque leaders. All you have to do is look at the literature. It's right on their front shelves within the mosque. And I went with Dave Gobbets into a mosque in Savannah, Georgia, 2 years ago. And there it all was, laid out, in perhaps one of the most violent promoting books that you will find in a mosque is the Quran. All you have to do is read chapter 9 of the Quran, and you see it all laid out, all the violence that Muhammad was given just before he died. It's one of the last, if not the last, chapters that he received before he died, and therefore it takes precedence over all other chapters within the Quran. And that's where it is, all the jihadist promoting verses you'll find, along with many other chapters as well. But chapter 9 is the key. And that is what's being promoted in the mosque. It is a place to store weapons. It is a place for training. It is a place to mobilize its followers when the word goes out. So the mosques are very concerning. Their goal is to have one in every major city. I think the last count, we're over 3,000 right now in this country. So they're being funded by major countries, Muslim countries in the Middle East, and they're being all inspired by the Muslim Brotherhood.
And David, my guest David Baris, by the way, you'll see his name on the screen there for correct spelling. David, sadly, many of America's pastors have done a horrible job at teaching these facts to their American Christian congregations. In fact, many of them believe it's their duty to open the floodgates and bring in as many as they could during the Obama administration. Now they're doing the same with the Afghans. You know, this is our chance to give them the gospel, you know, as though somehow God's so weak, he has to have us, you know, invite people that aren't vetted into our country to hear the gospel, because otherwise God's so weak they would never hear, right? That's why he says, you know, go ye into the world, you know, send out missionaries, and the rocks and stones will cry out if they have to. But they buy these silly ideas. I'm going to be the equivalent, I said before, of inviting a bunch of rapists into your house with your wife and four daughters because they need to hear the gospel. Not a good idea. So, yeah, we're for the gospel. We're for people hearing the truth about Christianity. But we know that we're not going to reject our family and national security. He who does not provide for his family is worse than an unbeliever. That means physically and spiritually. How disappointed are you that we have spent so many years fighting the interfaith dialogue, the major tool of the Muslim Brotherhood, which Syed Qutb, one of their leaders, said was meant to bring the non-Muslim to their side of the bridge, not the other way around. Yet you have major pastors and church denominations pushing interfaith dialogue, as well as pushing the idea that we can have some kind of common ground. I mean, you and I have been pushing a rock uphill just fighting against the Christian churches in America, have we not?
Well, if you look at what the Christian churches is signed up for, is Chrislam. That we worship the same God. Whether we be Christians or members of the Muslim faith, we worship the same God. And that, of course, is to help drive a wedge between us and the Jews. That's all a part of their grand strategy. But we have pastors right now who have signed on the dotted line that we're in partnership with the Muslim clerics. And And this partnership does mean that we have a lot more in common with our religions than we have differences. Now, anyone who's part of the Christian faith know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. All you have to do is look at the Muslim faith and where is Jesus? Well, he's a prophet. That's all. That's all. So that tells you right there, we do not worship the same God. And we also believe in the Trinity within the Christian faith. Muslims do not. So that tells you we do not worship the same God. And yet you have pastors right now who have capitulated and have bought into that lie and are promoting it.
Well said, David. Absolutely articulate and well said. You know, I'm thankful for you, David. I'm thankful for your service to our country in the military. I'm thankful for your service in a sheriff's department. I'm thankful for your service as the chief of police of a suburb near Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm thankful for the service that you're continuing to do. Have you ever written a book or anything, David?
No, I haven't. There are plenty of books out there, and believe me, Brandon, it would just be redundant if I ever put pen to paper. So there are plenty of books out there that will tell the truth about all of this. You have done it. Many others that have been on your programs. There are plenty of information that will tell people and educate them of what we're up against.
Well, David Boreas, you're a great American patriot, Christian leader. I appreciate your coming on tonight, and we're going to definitely get you back here. Thank you, sir, for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Brandon. Good night.
You too. Bye-bye. David Boreas checking in, my friends. So thankful for him and his work, aren't you?